Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'd like to say thanks again for the invitation. It's always good to come back to Shiloh and share in the ministry of the Word. I want to read some verses from the Old Testament this morning in the book of the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And then some verses from John's Gospel, chapter 10. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. The last verse is verse 31. Last verse in the chapter. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. And then turn over, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and know of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We pray the Lord will bless the reading again of Holy Scriptures today. You would probably have gathered that I want to speak this morning of the shepherd and the sheep. I remember hearing a gospel years ago, and a man said that he had read or had read somewhere, or somebody had said that there are 365 titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. If that was so, I haven't got round to counting them all. But that would be that there's one you could consider for each day of the year. That particular gospel in Medine I was in, you speak it upon Christ as the rock, the Lord's our rock, in him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. I'm thinking this morning of the shepherd. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The point I want to make is this. I remember watching the sheep being sheared one day. And I was watching the wool and the fleece being taken off their back. And then they went back into the field. I was seeing a lovely picture of salvation, in that the fleece has been removed. That burdensome fleece, it reminded me of the weight of sin. But then my illustration, I felt, sort of broke down a wee bit, because they went back into the field that they came from, but that's not really in keeping with the picture. But then I remember thinking this, that those that have the fleece removed, they go back into the field. They're certainly a lot cleaner. And they're a lot more easily identifiable. They stand out. And that's the picture. You see, we as believers, we're in the field. Ah, but we're different. We're different in appearance than we ought to be. We're liberated. We're not cleaner. They shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. The idea is as white as wool, but I think also the burdensome fleece. There's burdens are lifted at Calvary. So I'm thinking of the flock this morning. I'm thinking of the flock, and particularly that verse, John 10:14. That I would say is my text today. I want you to notice that verse. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's salvation. But verse 14, we do well to learn this, how well the shepherd knows us. And this morning, we have read from Ezekiel, in that great prophecy, that book of prophecy. And of course, Ezekiel 34 is a prophecy to do with Israel and how the nation is dispersed, but how that one day they'll be gathered again. And there'll be that remnant that will turn unto him again. But I want to look at it devotionally this morning. Not so much prophetically. Lord's Day morning, just a simple word of devotion this morning. And try to let you see and get a hold of this today, that the Lord knows the flock. He knows us. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. That's it. And I'm known of mine. When I was a boy, small boy, my father had sheep. I don't know how many. I do remember the black and white dog, the collie dog. No dog like him, as far as that's concerned. I do remember very small neighbour man helping my father. The plan was, we're bringing in the sheep. The gate was opened, bringing in the sheep. Mother called us for tea, into the kitchen for tea. When we came back out again, all the sheep were in the yard. The dog had went and brought them in. We didn't have the bother of bringing them in. They were already in. And I always remember that. My father was surprised at that. And I used to think, there's no dog like that dog. Jack, there's no dog like him. But for many years, we didn't have sheep. Until I was in my late 20s. And my father took a notion to keep sheep again. Always cattle over the years. Always cattle. 27, 28. And I remember that because I was building a bungalow at the bottom of the lane. He had passed, he stopped in the trailer and he said, I'm going to get some sheep. And I was greatly, I think I was excited about this. I hadn't seen sheep for years. Came back with sheep. He said, I have to go back for more. And I looked at the sheep. And I thought, he says, I think I've bought 50. I said, I'll maybe buy a dozen myself. He said, well, you take a dozen if you want. He came back with more. It was 48. That's significant now. It was 48. I marked 12, my dozen, with a purple dye on the rump. They were mine. Here's the difference. When they got out for a while and got weathered a bit, the dye started to fade. And I used to pick mine out every now and again. That's one of mine. And then, after a while, I wasn't sure that was mine or not. The dye was fading. The father's colour, I think, was red. Was that red or was that purple? And he used to say to me, that's one of yours there. And he pointed out another one, that's one of yours. And I didn't know, to be honest. But the shepherd knew. You see, I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep and I know of mine. He knew his and he knew mine. Do you know what happened? 12 are mine. Of 48. One quarter of the flock was mine. Which quarter it was, I didn't know. I couldn't have told you mine. All I knew is one quarter of the flock's mine. And that's how it went. The good shepherd knows the sheep. Oh, that's the difference. That's the bit that I want you to get hold of this morning. He knows the sheep. When Peter's writing in his epistle in 1 Peter, he talks about sheep that are scattered. He talks about those that are scattered. And then he talks about those that have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of the souls. And then he exhorts elders to feed the flock. And then he talks about the chief shepherd appearing. He's very much in mind that he's writing to a flock. And that's the picture this morning. We're the flock of his hand, the sheep of his pasture today. And the text is, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. And am known of mine. You see, you wouldn't need to be in the company of a shepherd very long till you would learn this, that each one, every one, they're individual. You drive along this time of year and you see sheep on the hillside, they all look the same, but they're not. They're all different. And the shepherd knows, I am a good shepherd, and know my sheep, and they know of mine. We're in the field this morning. Yes, we've been to Jesus for the cleansing power and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this world's not our home and we're just passing through and we have the difficult task of trying to live in the world in which we find ourselves in. More and more difficult today and more ungodly it seems. And we need to stay and we need to take our stand today and we need to be that peculiar people and we need to be outstanding and something different about us. Yes, as I've said, we are a lot cleaner. And we ought to be readily identifiable in the world today. But there are beasts in the field, and there are many snares in the field, and there are thickets. Remember, there's a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. There are many a thicket that can catch us. And there's temptation, and there's hunger, and there's difficulties in the field. But bear in mind that he's the good shepherd, and he knows the flock. In the early part of Ezekiel 34, God charges the shepherds of Israel, that is the civic religious leaders, whose kings of Israel referred to as shepherds. He charges them with neglecting the flock. And that's the early part. He said, you know, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, thus saith the Lord the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel. They feed themselves, not feeding the flock. They eat the fat, they clothe, they are living off the sheep, not caring for the sheep, not feeding the flock. And the charge is the disease you haven't strengthened. You haven't healed the sick, you haven't bound up the broken, and you haven't brought again that which was driven away. And you can see that the shepherd is speaking. And you see that the shepherd knows the flock. You see, we find in verse 16, God says, I will be a shepherd unto them. I will lead them out. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. I will seek the lost. There's a shepherd this morning, you know, he's interested in lost sheep. A reminder of Luke 15. And that story of the one who has 100 and yet 99 are gathered in. And yet he goes out to search for one. He's the shepherd who seeks, you see. Verse 16. I will seek the lost. That's how the Lord works. The prodigal son. The father, it says that he was watching for him. It would indicate that he was watching for him daily. Because when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and recognized him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck. He was the shepherd, you see. He recognized him a great way off. He's a seeking shepherd. Seeks that which is lost. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep the waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through. Find the sheep that was lost. Then it says this, I will seek that which was lost, verse 16 of Ezekiel 34. And then it says this, I'll bring again that which was driven away. Bring again that which was driven away. He's not just a seeker, he's the searcher. He searches for those that are driven away. You see, as I've already indicated, there's much in the field that could drive sheep away. Your adversary, the devil, at a rolling land, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan can come in different guises. And there's much in life that can drive sheep away. There's much that can discourage and drive them away. Poor shepherding can drive the flock away. That's what we have here in Ezekiel 34. The disciples, they wanted to chase children away. The Lord had to say, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven. I think there's a certain way a man can preach that could drive sheep away. Rather than encourage. I remember being at a young people's meeting many years ago, maybe 40 years ago now. But the manner of the ministry, I remember sitting that night and thinking, man, you would put me off. You drive young ones away, getting on like that, talking like that. It's not how the shepherd works. He searches for those that are driven away. the Lord has risen. And he's appeared unto Peter, somewhere on his own. He searched out Peter, the one who had denied him, and he went out and wept bitterly. And, but the Lord's risen. Tell Peter. Shepherd doesn't drive sheep away. No, no. Shepherd leads. We were bringing in sheep one day. One wouldn't go in. They all went in through the gate bar one with two lambs. And before it happened, I knew it was going to happen. I could see it. It was looking to the far end of the field. It was thinking about going. I'm not going this way. I'm going this way. And so it did. I ran and gathered it back again. And of course, when it went, the rest all went with it. So they're all coming in again, second time. And this one still doesn't want to go in. So we get them all in bar this one this time. And it's two lambs and away it goes. And I thought to myself, right, you want to run. I run. And I was able to in those days. And I chased it. You want to go to the bottom of the field? Right, we'll go to the bottom of the field. Turned and came back up again. Still chasing it. Turned again for the bottom of the field. Well, that's alright. Still chasing it. It got to the point where it wasn't running, or I wasn't chasing, I was driving it. I was driving it. You see, it started the tar, but I just kept in behind it and kept driving it, chasing it. Coming back up the field again the third or fourth time, it just collapsed in front of me. Just went down, off its legs altogether. And now I'm standing looking very foolish. Two lambs looking at it, I'm looking at it. It won't get up. I've driven it literally into the ground. And I looked towards the yard, my father's watching. I was shouting at him, I said, it can't get up. And I think he was probably thinking, he takes after his mother doing things like that. He takes after his mother. And instead of coming into the field, I thought, well, maybe he'd try and lift it and carry it. He turned and went in the opposite direction. But then he came back with a little plastic bucket. Walked into the field. Walked down the field a wee bit. Within hearing distance. I think it was hearing distance. Clipped the bucket off his knee. Said, come on. Go on. And to my surprise, the sheep stood up. And he turned and started to walk for the gate. And the sheep walked after him. And they all walked into the gate. Sheep followed. And I thought to myself, how foolish I am. I'm not the shepherd. This is the shepherd. I'm only a hireling. This is how the shepherd operates. Good shepherd doesn't drive sheep. Shepherd leads. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I am a good shepherd, and know my sheep. He feeds, he guides, he leads. That's the shepherd. He seeks. my elect, whom my soul delighteth. I have set my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Then it says this, a bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax he'll not quench. He works at the bruised reed. He'll not discard it. He'll not break it. The smoking flax, he'll work at that smoldering, smoking, and he'll fan it and he'll get the flame going again. He doesn't discard. Because, as we have read here in this verse, verse 16 of Ezekiel 34, I'll bind up the broken. He specializes in binding up the broken. Heartaches and broken pieces and ruined lives are why he died in Calvary. Yes, Peter was once broken. The Lord sought him out. He sympathizes with the broken. I remember my father having a sheep that was broken. Bad, bad break. It was winter time. They were all in the house. I don't know how many there were. I looked after cattle. He looked after sheep. And I used to come round some nights and look in at the sheep. Didn't always, but looked in now and again. And there was one isolated. Bad gash, bad break. And there it was, special attention. And then maybe it seemed to me like a week or two had passed, and I noticed this one's still here again. I says, you're still figuring about this one. I says, yes, we'll see. We'll see how it comes. Didn't look any different. Running with the rest. No different. I thought it was a waste of time. Discard it. That's not how the shepherd works. He binds up the broken. The Lord will not throw you away, you know. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He found me bruised and dying. He poured in oil and wine. He whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. Never heard a sweeter voice. Caused my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace. Brought me to the fold. He binds up the broken. I tell you, if you feel the Lord this morning, if you're traveling afar off, if you're not what you used to be, if you're broken this morning, something has happened, and you've made a mess of things, He binds up the broken, you know. Doesn't throw you away. Not finished with you, no. He's the good shepherd. And he knows the sheep. It says then that he will strengthen that which was diseased. In fact, in verse 4 it says, the disease have you not strengthened. I wondered why he said disease and not strengthened, not said strengthened, diseased. When it comes to disease in a flock, it's better that they're vaccinated or immunized, or if there's be things in the assembly that you're not seeing, and then suddenly it's an epidemic. But John writes to the churches, Pergamos seemed to be modernism and liberalism. It was the disease that had got a Thyatira, it was ecumenism. Laodicea, it was certainly materialism. Increase with Greece and need and nothing. Of course, you can have formalism and tradition. Sardis. There's many diseases can get into the flock. And it's better that they're fortified and that it's prevented before the outbreak. Immunize. What's required? Fed on the finest of the wheat. Strong meat of the word. Or for those that are younger, the milk of the word. That's the best prevention against disease. He's the strengthening shepherd. He strengthens the sheep against all manner of disease. And then it says, and I will strengthen the sick. I think that's more individual. He's the succoring shepherd. Those that are weak, looking out for that one. Those that are weary, maybe. You can easily identify them. They'll have their head down somewhere, maybe just out on their own a little, just drifting away from the rest. Maybe with their head down, stuck in a corner or under a hedge or somewhere. That's where you'll find the one that's weak and weary. It reminds me of Luke 24. That couple that left Jerusalem and were heading back to Emmaus. We thought it had been he. But we must have got it wrong. He was taken and crucified. Nailed him to a cross. Buried, and now he's, well, I don't know where his body is. Burn within us when he walked with us by the way. You see, he specializes in lifting up the sick and helping those that are in distress. He feeds his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I will strengthen that which is sick. Verse 16 finishes up a little bit unusual, I thought. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. That's not really, I thought, in keeping with how the verse goes. You see this shepherd who seeks. You see this shepherd who searches and sympathizes and succors those that are sick and strengthens the diseased. Then suddenly it says, I'll destroy the fat and the straw. And I'll feed them with judgment. The fat and the straw will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear at the judgment seat, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3, every man, his work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It will be revealed by fire of what sort it is. I thought I knew about sheep. One day I shared it to my father. There's the best sheep in the field. Balmoral show sheep, I says. And I thought it was fat and strong. And he shook his head. No, not at all, he says. That's the best one in the field. He pointed to another one. And he says to me, rears the best two lambs every year. Aye, scrawny old sheep. Rears the best two lambs every year. The one that I'd picked out wasn't in lamb. Didn't have any lamb, you see. Had put it all on her own back. Fat and strong. Looked the part. Ah, but the shepherd had a different view to me. And that's the type that says here that fat and the giving to our young. And that's the type of people God wants us to be. Those that will give. Those that are concerned for others. Not so much for themselves. He's a scrutinizing shepherd. He says the fat and the strong. He sees them. He knows. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. He's a satisfying shepherd. Verse 15. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. Know how to make them lie down? The Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. What causes the flock to lie down and to rest? Well fed, well watered, and know that they're secure. The shepherd watching over them. I asked my father one night, sheep in winter time scene. I asked him, well, how's things going? Going well. He says, do you know how I know? Look at the sheep. And I looked. What do you see? I says, well, he says, they're all looking at me. And so they were. They were all standing, looking at him. and he knew there was contentment in the flock, because their eyes were upon him. They're watching him. They're looking toward his hand, the hand that's feeding them, the one that's caring for them. The gaze is upon him. And the shepherd knows that when they're looking toward him, that all is well within the flock. Satisfying shepherd. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. He seeks the lost. He searches for the driven away. He sympathizes with those that are broken. He strengthens against all manner of diseases. He succors the sick one. He's a satisfying shepherd, following Jesus. Every day by day, nothing can harm me. When Jesus leads the way, darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Amen. We're singing in closing, if we may. The great hymn, 486 in the Redemption Book, I think it is, 486, "The Lord's my shepherd, I not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." 486 in our red book.